Scott is out of town tonight. That's why I'm up here again. So if you'll open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. One of the things we've been talking about this past week was the armor of God. A familiar passage to us, but one that I think is very practical and very helpful as we think about the pieces of armor that the Lord has given to us. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." So Paul here gives us a mental picture of the warfare that we are engaged in. He points out several things about this warfare. And the first is that we need to understand our enemy. In verse 11, he says that we need to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. This is an important thing to think about because we are against an enemy that, honestly, I don't know if we spend a whole lot of time kind of thinking about, or we'd rather not think a lot about him. It's not very pleasant to contemplate. But one of the things here is, what is Satan doing against us? It describes him that he has schemes. And the idea there is that he's making plans against the people of God. It may well be that Satan has thought about you. I don't know if he has the same kind of power that God does to think about like everybody at once or what, but he has a tremendous amount of power, and he is plotting against us. And God knows that, and thankfully God is thinking about us as well, and He has given us exactly what we need to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We need to take our enemy seriously and be able to stand against his schemes. As he goes into the pieces of armor, he says, take up the whole armor of God. One of the things I think we're tempted to do sometimes is that we take up the parts of the armor that come easiest to us. We're doing well with the sword of the Spirit. We're using the sword effectively. We're studying that. But we're not doing as well with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We're not as ready for opportunities when people talk to us. Or you can think of different combinations of things like that. But if you only put on part of the armor, what's going to happen? Your enemy is going to see, hey, he's like missing his breastplate. shoot there. Our enemy knows our weaknesses. And we need to be fortified in every area. If there's a particular area where you're weak, you need to fortify yourself in those areas that you're weak. Take up the whole armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm. Sometimes we sing that song, Soldiers of Christ Arise. I think it's the fourth verse. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. So take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So then he mentions these six pieces of armor. And he starts with the belt of truth. And this is the thing that our generation is just like really struggling with right now, is just this whole concept that there is truth. Some translations say, at the belt of truth. Some say at girding up your loins with truth. The idea is being ready. And my understanding is like the belt is kind of the thing that holds the whole armor together. If you think about the ancient armor and things like that. But we were reading this morning in high school class about Pilate and Jesus and the encounter that they have when Jesus is on trial. And that Jesus is talking about the nature of his kingdom, and he's not here to start a rebellion, but his kingdom is not of this world. And otherwise, his disciples would be fighting. And he says that I've come here to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? What is truth? What a sad state to be in, that you just kind of don't want to have to deal with the truth. And that's really what Pilate's doing for that whole section, isn't he? Is like, I think he kind of knows the truth, that this is an innocent man and I have the power to release him. But if I release him, the truth is that the people are going to rebel against me. And like, I don't want that. And Pilate is just a coward. Like, he just doesn't want to deal with the truth. But for the soldier of Christ, we have to start with the truth. We have to admit to the truth of our own sinfulness, turn to the truth of God's word, accept the truth, stand in the truth, abide in the truth. And so that's kind of where this all starts. We have to take up truth like it's the belt, like it's just the first thing you do is you gird yourself up, you get ready, and the truth is where we start. So we have to deal with the truth, grapple with the truth. And then you put on the breastplate of righteousness. And this is something that was really cool that was pointed out to me in a lesson a while back. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 59. One of the interesting things about the New Testament writers, maybe Paul in particular, is I suspect they read the prophets a lot. And the more you read the prophets, the more you kind of think, wait, wow, like there's some really cool connections here. Look at Isaiah 59, and we don't have time tonight to go through the whole context, but at the beginning of Isaiah 59, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So the problem in Isaiah 59 is God saying, you're not being rescued because I can't rescue you. But it's not that my hand is too short and I can't reach you. It's not that I don't hear you. It's that your sins have caused a separation. I've had to hide myself from you because you've sinned. And that's the problem. And so he discusses the problems that they have in this chapter and kind of lists their sins and the problems. And so down to verse 15. Where he says, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. So the Lord sees the problem. He sees the gulf between himself and his people, and that there's no one who can span that gulf. There's no one to intercede between him and his people. And so what does he do? There in verse 16. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. And then this is really cool. Read this. Verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. And so he comes to like judge the enemies of God's people and to turn them back to himself. So this is a really cool passage because I suspect that Paul at some point is reading this passage and he kind of plays off of, because he uses two of the exact pieces right here, right? The breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And then kind of expands on that in Ephesians 6 and talks about, you know, the other pieces of the armor. But that's just really cool. And the other thing I think is cool about this passage is that who's wearing the armor? Whose armor is it? It's God's armor, and I think particularly it's like God's mediator's armor. This is like the armor that Jesus used when he came and fought the battle that God wanted him to fight. I mean, Satan was after Jesus, wasn't he? I mean, we see some of the specific temptations, and there's just lots of times where Jesus is tempted. But he stands firm because he put on the armor. And I think this is just a cool concept to think about is, if you're going to use a product, if you're like going on Amazon or whatever, you're going to like buy a product, what do you want to look at? You scroll down and you look at the reviews, right? Like this thing got like 5 stars, it got like 1 star, terrible, don't buy it. So we look at the people who have used it before and kind of how it went for them, what they thought about it. Guys, the armor that God has left for us has been battle tested by God's own son. It works. It really works. If we will take it up, and if we will keep it on, and if we will stay on guard, we can put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, because Satan was defeated. He was destroyed by Jesus. So I just think that's a really cool connection. That's the background for some of this. Let's come back to Ephesians 6. There's more we could say about that, but that may whet your appetite to look at that some more. So you've got the breastplate of righteousness, and a breastplate's really important, right? Because what does it protect? Like all of your vital organs. I mean, your head's pretty important, but next to that, like your torso is really important. You don't want to get shot in the heart or in the lungs. You go down pretty quick. Now, the breastplate of righteousness could mean a couple of different things. It could mean the idea of the righteousness that we have, that like living righteously, that like we put on that as kind of a breastplate, that we're doing good, we're doing right, and that helps kind of defend against the bad things that Satan's acting against us. But it could also be the idea that God makes us righteous, and the righteousness that he gives us, not in the sense that like, well, we don't have to do anything, God just gives us righteousness, but in the sense of like, we trust God and we respond in faith to him and he washes our sins away. He makes us righteous. You remember that passage in Genesis 15? You know, Abraham has been told, you're going to have a child. Actually, go outside, Abraham, look up at the stars. That's going to be your descendants. And Abraham did what? He believed God. And God did what? He counted it to him as righteousness. Like, that's kind of mind-blowing when you stop and you think about that, that God said, okay, Abraham, you're righteous. Not because you've done everything perfectly, but because you believe me that I'm going to keep my promises. That's amazing. And that's applied to us in like Romans 4. It says that you need to have faith like Abraham. Believe, and it's counted to you as righteousness. Again, it says other things in Romans about how we respond in faith. People take that to an extreme sometimes. But put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's not that I'm living perfectly, but it's that God is able to make me righteous. Because one of Satan's biggest things that he does for us is he says, you're not good enough, and you're not doing enough. And you're just not where you ought to be, and you're not righteous, and you're not good. And like, that's what really gets us down sometimes, is we our own recognition of like, I'm not enough. And the thing is, no, we're not. And we're not ever going to be by our own works in this life enough. That's why it depends on grace. That's why it depends on faith. And so this idea of putting on righteousness like a breastplate, I think that's powerful to think about, like Satan shooting at us. And he's trying to get us to give up. He's trying to get us to despair. But it's like, no, like God has made me righteous. Doink. You know, and like, it's a protection from the kinds of attacks that Satan throws at us. And that doesn't excuse us from living righteously, obviously. But that's really how we can be righteous at all, is because God gives righteousness to those who trust him. So the breastplate of righteousness, shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. About that, I just want to say, be ready this week. The shoes are like the things, that's like where you go and like what you do. You've always got the shoes on. You're ready. And it's got traction, right? This is something I need to work on as well, is be looking for opportunities. You've got the gospel of peace with you at all times, and you're ready. You're ready to share the gospel with whoever you might be able to share it with. And sometimes it's a pretty unlikely scenario. Just be willing to talk with people. Listen to them and give them something. Maybe you can't explain everything to them, but plant a seed. Say the thing that you can say. Show them some love and point them to the Lord. Tell them why you're doing what you're doing. Be ready with the shoes of the gospel of peace. In verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. The fundamental battle that we're fighting is the battle is, are we going to act out of faith, or are we going to walk by just the things that we see? And that's the fundamental thing that Satan's trying to trick us on, right? Is like we start to act on, oh, if I do that, then these bad things are going to happen and I can kind of see the consequences, or these people are going to be mad at me. That's walking by sight if we're just looking at those things. Walking by faith is where we say, I'm going to act differently in this situation because God has told me something different about what's happening in the spiritual realm. And I can't see it, but I believe it's real. I believe it's actually more real and more lasting than what I can see. And so that's like the shield. He's firing stuff at you. You give into this temptation. It's going to feel good right now. And you say, you know what? It's going to feel better later, way better, if I don't do that right now. That's faith. And that's the way you can block the attacks of Satan and his lies, the things of which he's trying to get us. So take up the shield of faith and quench the flaming darts of the evil one. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation. And again, this can kind of go one of two ways. It's like we can talk about like the fact that we are saved right now is like a helmet that like, no, like I'm so grateful that God has rescued me from sin and like that protects my head. I also like to think of the helmet here as like protecting your thoughts, even though technically like actual physical armor is not like a mental thing, but this is spiritual armor, right? So it may also be that idea. You remember in Ephesians 4 or Philippians 4 rather, where he talks about praying to God and letting your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will do what for you? It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so I think some of this idea may be that like God has saved me, and the peace of that is like a helmet. Like, I am in Christ. I am walking in the light. Like, I've got it. Thank you, God. You know, you put on that helmet of salvation to protect you from, again, like all those things that Satan's trying to get us to think and worry about and all of that. But here's one thing that's interesting. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Did you know that Ephesians 6 is not the only armor passage in the New Testament? 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, this is kind of interesting because he uses some different spiritual things to represent different parts of the armor, but I want to focus right now on the helmet. It's not the helmet of salvation here, it's the helmet of what? The hope of salvation. And I think this is kind of cool because both are true, right? Like, are we saved now? And is salvation still something that, in a sense, we're waiting for? Yeah, I think both of those things are true. And so this is also true that like we put on a helmet that is like, God is going to win. Like, he's going to save me. And that's my helmet. Like, I'm waiting on him. And at the end, it's all going to be okay because God is going to win. And I'm waiting for that. I'm putting stock in that. I'm not laying up treasures here. I'm laying up treasures there because that's what's going to last. So that's kind of cool to think about. It's like the helmet is salvation, but it's also the hope of salvation. So real briefly here at the end, he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is a powerful tool, a powerful weapon that we have. Notice it's also the only offensive weapon in the armor. Most of it is defensive. But the sword that we use, it's the sword of the Spirit, which could mean that like the Spirit gives us the Word. It may also be the idea that it is like the sword that belongs to the Spirit. In the same way that like this is Jesus' armor from Isaiah 59, it may be that like this is the sword that the Spirit uses. This is like one of the main ways he works and, you know, convicts people is through the Word. That it's like, if you think of the Holy Spirit as this warrior, like it's his sword that we're getting to use. That may be what this is. It's hard to be sure about that, but I think that's a cool idea. Either way, it's the Word of God, and we need to be training ourselves to use the sword rightly. Accurately handling the word of truth. In Hebrews 4, it says the word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, because it pierces where? Gets to our heart. And guys, that's how we have to wield it when we're using it. We're not just trying to like win an argument. We're not just trying to like have a better scripture knowledge than the other guy. We're trying to get to the heart. I tell you, that's a lot harder because when you try to get to somebody's heart, what do they try to do? That's like when people put up their own armor, right? Is like, hey, stop messing with my life. Like, you're getting personal. But that's what the word's supposed to do. And we need to have the guts to tell them, like, this is what the word says. Like, here. It's not me. It's not my sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. Like, and that's what convicts people. That's what ought to convict people. And we need to be willing to share people with the things that will pierce to the heart. That's how they can turn to God. The last thing I want to say is how he wraps this up. He talks about the six pieces of armor, but there's kind of a seventh thing that he wants us to do here. In verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and for Paul as well. He's asking for prayers. So if the six things are like the armor, what is prayer? You might say that prayer is like the stance. It's the readiness of the soldier, that you're keeping alert in prayer. You're looking around, you're thinking about it, because it's really in prayer that we stop thinking about just the things of the world and we're coming before God. And that's a time in which we're like more thinking about spiritual things, right? We're kind of more alert. And so he's saying, like, you pray all the time. Stay alert in prayer. And that's your stance as the soldier. It's not just like looking around physically, though we need to keep a watch on one another and those things, but be praying for one another. And so that's the armor of God. It is a battle-tested plan to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And be sure, he's scheming about all of us. And he's going to be attacking this week. So I want to encourage us as we leave tonight and we go through this week to be thinking about this, to be taking up the armor of God, each piece of it, praying about that, being alert in prayer, and watching out for one another. Some people have observed that there's technically not a piece of armor for the back, and that could be for a couple different reasons. It could be because God doesn't want his soldiers to retreat, and it could also mean because we got to have one another's backs. And we have to be willing to protect one another, fight back to back if we need to, and help one another. The invitation tonight is to take up the armor of God. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you need to come to him. Maybe you just need encouragement in the battle. Maybe you need prayer. If there's any way that we can be there for you tonight, help you to come to God, let us know while we stand and while we sing.